Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I am still flying high from the wonderful Sunday we had two Sundays ago. It was wonderful. My heart's still touched. So grateful for it. So many wonderful moments. But can we not all celebrate the song the kids sang, the Superman song? It was amazing. And not that Miss Meredith and Miss Amber, who put it together with Miss Paula's help, not that they needed any extra help to know of things to pick on me about. There's plenty. But afterwards, Miss Meredith shared with me some notes that she took from my children, traitors, about various things that they could poke fun at. And one of them is my Alana's favorite, and that is how I look at my phone. She's doing it there in the back. See, my eyes are not fantastic. And I can't see things far away, but close up they still work. And so, you know, it's one of these things, right? Whoa, you guys are really blurry. But when I have them down, like, it's tough to read close. So I read like this oftentimes. And my kids make fun of me for it. As they should. As they should. Eyesight. Erg. It's the worst, isn't it? Not being able to see things clearly. It's a struggle when things are fuzzy, when they're unclear, when you can't see. Jesus, again today, heals, as he does a number of times through the scriptures, he heals people that are blind so they can see. I love that Jesus helps people see. But one of the things that is the struggle is that we often can think that Jesus giving the ability to see is something that he does for blind people. But the reality is, he gives us all eyes of faith, doesn't he? With Jesus, he helps you to see clearly, even if you don't need glasses, even if you don't look at your phone like this. He helps you to see. That's what he does. He gives you eyes of faith. And when you have eyes of faith, you see things differently. You see things from his perspective, from his vantage point. Not always, but there's a confidence, an underlying conviction that God is up to something, even when the walls are caving in, even when the doctors don't have answers, even when the pain and the hurt and the broken heart remains. God gives us lenses, Christ-formed lenses, cruciform-shaped lenses through which we can see. And he helps you to see clearly. That's what we celebrate. That's one of the things he does. He helps you to see things differently, right? That's who he is. That's how he helps. This story is great. I mean, there's something beautiful about these two blind men, and it says that they're following after Jesus. Think about that. How do blind men follow people? With their ears. Man, I didn't even pepper her that ahead of time. She just knew. Good work, Amber. Ears, right? When you lose one of your senses, your other fours are heightened, and so they can hear Jesus. Do you hear the voice of Jesus? Can you hear him? That's how people followed him when they couldn't see. Another reality is they probably had somebody to help them, to help guide them. Do you have people in your life that help guide you? To help you walk the path to Jesus. I love the faith of these blind men who followed Jesus, and they did so boldly. They cried out to him, right? The Greek there is pretty clear. They were loud and obnoxious in trying to get Jesus' attention. They weren't afraid. They weren't timid. They were bold in believing that Jesus could do something for them that they needed, but they didn't demand it. They came and they begged for mercy. Son of David. Son of David is a title. It's a descriptor that was given to the Messiah, the one who saves, the one who is anointed to come and do God's work. We cry out the same thing this coming Sunday when we cry out, Hosanna, save us. Save us, Jesus. Open our eyes so that we can see and give us faith to draw near to your voice with the help of others. Jesus says, do you think I can heal you? Do you think I can do it? And they say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's a beautiful expression of faith, isn't it? How often do we simply say, yes, Lord? I don't know about you, but I often say, yes, Lord, but. Yes, Lord. He says, let it be as you believe. And he heals them. Such power there. Faith. Faith is a powerful muscle, isn't it? It's a believe and a trust that Jesus is who he says he is and can do what he says he can do. And begging for mercy is not demanding that he shows off, but pleading, Lord, I could use you, but I believe you and I trust you that even when it doesn't go my way, you are still in control. You are still God. You are still good. And I love this, that Jesus says, shh, I did it for you, but now shh, shh, don't tell anybody. Why would he do that, right? It's not just here. He does it so often in the Gospels that scholars have actually named this the messianic secret. That Jesus, when somebody figures out who he is, Jesus often tells them, keep it a secret. Keep my identity to yourself. Don't let it out there. Why would Jesus do that? Especially in today's world where everything is worthy of a picture and a post, right? Jesus says, keep it in. And the reason is Jesus knows what his primary objective is. He knows why he came. He came to heal, but not the blind. He came to heal everyone of sin, death, and the devil. He came here to die for you. And the problem was that as Jesus' fame grew, more and more people came and demanded from Jesus things that it would have taken him off of his path. He wanted to keep his primary objective clear. Until the moment when it was revealed who Jesus was. So the messianic secret was true for people that were there in Jesus' day, but as he dies on the cross, that secret is exposed. It is public knowledge. Jesus is the Messiah, and you and I don't need to keep it a secret. We can tell people. We can tell people. Now, the two men that were healed, they got it wrong. They were told to keep it quiet, and they went blabbing their mouth. I fear that we've done the opposite. That it's now our turn to share the good news. And far too often we're quiet. Far too often we keep it a secret. Far too often we keep it close because we don't want to offend, we don't want to tell, we don't want to upset people. We're embarrassed by it or it's hard and challenging. And so we keep this amazing news of who Jesus is to ourselves instead of sharing it out loud. We've gone too far the other way. Scripturally, there are lots of spiritual gifts, and one of them is to be an evangelist. I don't even like that word. Evangelist, right? That's a word it's been taken from us. We think of street corner evangelists. We think of all these things that have negative images in our minds, but the reality is that there are still people who are called to be evangelists. There are gifts given to evangelists. I wish I was one. I'm not. Maybe you have the gift of evangelism. Fantastic. And maybe you don't. And that's okay. But the good news of God's kingdom is some are called to be evangelists, but all of us are called to. Battery died. As the psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Stand up and tell how you've been redeemed. That's the call of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. Tell your story. And tell the age story of Jesus, who's been at work and remains at work in you. Go and tell your story of all that God has done. You are healed to proclaim his name. In the name of Christ, amen.